They were carried an interminable distance, through vast expanses of swamp, between prickly tree trunks that looked like something that ought to be growing in a desert, past huge piles of reddish sand, sometimes shading to an orange, the color of the sky of this world, through brush growth and greenish water, and up from patches of semi-liquid land. Swamp creatures, like alidiles, splashed out of their way, snapping great toothy snouts, slapping broad tails that made muddy waves.
Father, do you think one of those is their god?
Let's just try to wait and be surprised.
The Frugirs repositioned their loads. Then they were in the lake itself, wading and finally swimming with their powerful hind legs. Somehow, the Frugirs kept them above the surface. They splashed up a ramp. There, concealed until now by the black thorny tree branches, was a huge gate. The Frugirs put their prisoners down on a dry surface and backed off. Kelvin saw some of them as they dipped back below the scum. Bubbles traced their route away from the island.
Tribute? They've brought their tribute!
In an aperture high in the wall, there was suddenly a woman's comforting face. She wore a coppery crown on coppery tresses, with coppery rings dangling from two definitely rounded, not pointed ears. She was, Kelvin had to notice, a beauty. But what could such a woman be doing here in this ironically godforsaken place?
Tribute. Thank you so much, Kelvin Hackleberry. Oh, and you, John Knight, trying so hard to get that knot untied. What a great pleasure to meet someone whose original home is far down the floor. With your son, Kelvin, a hero. And your other son, Kyan, wanting to wed his true love in still another frame. Oh, but you mustn't judge by appearances. I am more, very much more than you can imagine.
But human, a human being who thinks and speaks and has the power of life and death. That is correct, isn't it? You do have the power either to save us or destroy us.
Why, of course I have those powers, Kelvin. What do you think I am? Physically?
Kelvin tried not to picture the phenomenal contours he was sure her body had, hidden by the wall.
Ah, you are married, so you hesitate to conjecture. Yet suppose I were to offer you your freedom in return for that conjecture. Oh, it would be delightful to make you do with me what you so dread. Perhaps I should indeed free you, instead of saving you for a late-night snack.
Late-night snack?
Go on, Kelvin. It's such a pleasure following your thoughts.
She's a witch.
A witch? Me? Oh, shame on you, Kelvin. A hero of your stripe should know better. You have heard of me, or of something like me. Certainly your father has. He told you, too, though you thought he was speaking nonsense. And you as well, Kyan. Indeed, I am not like your mother.
Mavania, do you always have to play with our food?
Of course I do, Merton. And why not? Aren't human females and felines that way? Here I have almost coaxed this innocent young man into lusting after my luscious torso. Oh, it can be fun accomplishing that. Oh, now, Grumpus, you know it's not really feeding time yet. Yes, yes, I agree. We will have to show ourselves, but it's going to be a surprise, particularly for Kelvin, who is resolutely focusing on my forbidden sex appeal. Kyan is thinking of his Lani, and John of his Charlaine, and another named Zenon. Naughty, naughty John. Only one can be your wife. But you, Kelvin, you are thinking of me, and that is the naughtiest of all.
That's not entirely true. I'm thinking also of Helen.
Yes, that night you got her pregnant. But now she is gravid and doesn't look quite like that, whereas I may...
Mravania's face moved away from the wall opening as if shoved aside. Replacing it was a man's face. Coppery eyebrows and copper warrior helmet emphasizing high cheekbones and a bulging forehead.
Mravania? He's not even fat!
But it will be fun fattening them up. If I could somehow pose as Kelvin pictures me, voluptuous, almost naked, plying him with succulent grapes.
The man's face disappeared. Then in the opening appeared the snout of a dragon. Its scales were copper rather than a more normal gold, and the eyes it turned down on them were as coppery as its scales.
Father! Kyan!
I think I know what it is. Remember when I was telling you stories about Greek myth? Remember...
With horror, Kelvin realized that his father was helplessly rolling his eyes as if stricken. Magic used against him by Mervania? Magic used so that he would not talk?
You are quite right, Kelvin. I did stop your father from speaking. A simple paralysis hold on his vocal cords. It's wrong for him to want to spoil your surprise. I'd much rather share your naughty vision of me leaning forward to feed you a delicacy. My breasts becoming more visible as my gown falls away. Their delightful contours. Exactly how does that go after that?
Kelvin thought desperately of what his father had been saying. Greek myth all mixed up with history and therefore partially true. There had been Medusa, a monstrous woman with hair filled with living, hissing snakes.
Keep thinking, Kelvin. Keep thinking. There was also Circe, with whom Odysseus dallied for 20 years before returning to his wife. Now there was an example for you. Will poor little Helm weave a tapestry by day and unravel it by night? Waiting for your return.
I think I know. It's...
Coppery eyes glanced at his brother.
You can, Kelvin. You just have to try. You are getting warm, as you used to say in that children's game. Multiple heads. Yes, that's close. But do you recall the particular mythical being that caused you the most terror? I'll give you a clue. It wasn't your wife's namesake, Helen of Troy. Oh, excuse me. She was named after her father, a figure of quite another nature. A great hero fought this one, Kelvin. But then they always did, in your father's frame. One of us visited that world back in its infancy, and that's the source.
Kelvin felt as though he were failing a test. All he could think about was the face at the aperture and whether there was any clothing on what was below it. And his bonds, his father, and his brother.
Dunce! I tire of this. I'll show you my fascinating body. I'm coming out!
The gate swung wide. Back of the opening, Kelvin saw a walk, a garden, and a building. Then the face, the beautiful woman's face, was peeking around the gatepost.
Mervania!
The face kept coming. It was on a long, coppery-scaled neck.
A serpent woman! I knew it! God, she's a snake!
Oh, fiddle!
On clawed feet, a coppery-scaled body of immense size. Beside her head, a dragon's head, and beside the dragon's, Merton's. All three heads were on the front of a body that was all coppery scales, but was otherwise that of a scorpio crab in all but size. Great pincers reached in front, while at either of the monster's two sides were two human arms. Scaly feminine ones on Mervania's side, scaly muscle-bulging ones on Merton's. On the farthest end of the body, coming up last, the tapering crustacean posterior and the long sting, this one of copper.
Chimera!
Chimera!
Chimera. A monster that had to be far smarter and even more dangerous than the one the ancient Greeks had known.